Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
Americans worshiping government over God.
An extremely rare safety move by a major.
17 years the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
Hi, friends. Welcome to In the Market. I am your host, Janet Parshall. And come on, let's go walking through the marketplace of ideas. Don't be shy. Come on. Let's go. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, and I want to start with a very interesting story. You know who Stephen Hawking is, right? He's the leading physicist, probably some might say, of the world. He's a man, while he's physically handicapped, his mind is as sharp as a tack, and he's got a brand new book out called The Grand Design. Now, I think Stephen Hawking is a very interesting person to follow. In fact, I read with delight some of the things that he says. I don't happen to believe a lot of them, but I do nonetheless read them with delight. So in his brand new book, Stephen Hawking has put forth the idea that God was not the instigator of all creation. Now, he doesn't out and out say he denies the existence of God. He just tries to deal with the God of the gaps theory. In other words, the parts that scientists don't know, well, then they conveniently plug God in. Now, I happen to have a more holistic approach than Stephen Hawking does, or even those who subscribe to the God of the gaps kind of an idea. But nonetheless, what Hawking believes is that it was physics, mostly gravity, that caused all things to come into being. And it's physics and math that really basically did it all. Very interesting, because this is a man, by the way, who doesn't believe personally in God. So his theory doesn't out and out debunk the existence of God. He just kind of pushes him strongly over to the side. Now, here's the paradox in Stephen Hawking's worldview. He does happen to believe in aliens. And by the way, he thinks that aliens are not particularly nice entities. In fact, they're rather fearsome types of entities. By the way, did you ever notice that there's never puppy dog aliens? Any movie that's ever made about an alien, you notice they always want to kill us. So apparently there's no planet anywhere with happy, warm, fuzzy aliens, sort of like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. They're all bad aliens. That fantasy aside, does anybody see the paradox here? So Stephen Hawking doesn't believe in God. He thinks that's fanciful, but he does believe in aliens. And that's not fanciful? I find that to be most interesting. So I've been reading some of the blogs on the internet. The internet can be a very interesting place, by the way, where people have responded to Hawking's brand new book. And an individual by the name of Ed Field from Langley, British Columbia, wrote, "Stephen Hawking claimed that the discovery of a planet orbiting another sun makes Earth's conditions for life less remarkable and has helped to deconstruct Isaac Newton's view that the universe must have been created by God." Newton, were he alive today, would most probably disagree. The faith difference between the two eminent scientists is not due to the amount of knowledge available to each, but to the attitude taken by each to the knowledge available. Isaac Newton's genius discovered the law of universal gravitation and the laws of motion, the binomial theorem and math calculus, the light spectrum and the reflecting telescope. Yet, Isaac Newton claimed that his discoveries could only barely begin to appreciate God's creation. By the way, footnote here, Isaac Newton was a professing Christian. He said he felt like a boy playing on the seashore and diverting myself in now and then finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than ordinary, whilst the great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me. It is unlikely, Edward Field of Langley, British Columbia, writes, that Newton would think that situation significantly altered by the macroscopic or microscopic discoveries made since his time. In other words, were Isaac Newton still alive today, he would still stand in awe of the magnificence of God and the revelation of his creation. Not bad for a fellow who discovered the laws of gravity. But I found William Bedford of Toronto, his remarks to be rather interesting as well. And this is what he wrote. "God is dead, Nietzsche. Nietzsche is dead, God. There is no God, Stalin. There is no Stalin, God. God did not create the universe, Hawking. Hawking doesn't know what he's talking about, God." I think that's great. Well, let me tell you, the president of the United States now has weighed in on the possibility of these Qurans being burnt on Saturday. Wow. Is this a huge story or what? The president is referring to it as a stunt. And he says that it is not reflective of the American values of religious liberty and religious tolerance. So now Pastor Terry Jones, who has honestly, friends, painted himself into a corner here. In fact, I need to tell you that Homeland Security today, an Interpol of all entities, has now said to American travelers, be very careful because there may be the possibility of some acting out if, in fact, these Qurans are burned on Saturday. So literally, this has been heard around the world. So what did Pastor Jones do? He was pressed by a reporter on a major network, and he was asked if there was any way in which he would change his mind. And Terry Jones said, well, perhaps if somebody from the State Department or the President of the United States would reach out and try to connect with him, that perhaps he would, in fact, not go ahead with the burning of the Quran. So believe it or not, Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary, at his briefing today said that there is some robust conversation going on at the White House today as to whether or not there will in fact be a reaching out to Terry Jones on this particular incident. So it is amazing how every single day the story gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But you know what's bigger than the story? God is. And I got emails all through the night. I've been getting them since the sun came up this morning. I have a funny feeling we'll be talking about this tomorrow on Open Phones. You all have strong opinions about this and want to weigh in. But here's a universal I'm finding in so many, and that is that we go to the Lord, that we ask him to supersede in this particular situation, that it is an embarrassment for the cause of the gospel, that it won't do anything to win the lost to Christ Jesus, to say nothing of the military, the geopolitical, the societal ramifications. All of that aside, I'm just taking a look at the fact that we are his children, and will in fact this move forward the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I say we pray. We pray without ceasing. I liked what Pam in the Virgin Islands said yesterday. She said we need to be fasting and praying. We need to pray for the president, for those in authority, for this particular pastor, for those in the congregation. Just saturate this entire situation in prayer. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the horrific business of sex trafficking. And at the bottom of the hour, if you know football, you know Jim Kelly, and he's going to join us.
Give up the American dream? Hi, I'm Mark Early, and this is The Point. Time magazine recently profiled a man by the name of Twisi Kaguri. Born in Uganda, Kaguri had worked hard, gone to college, and landed a job in the United States. He'd even saved enough for a down payment on a house. But when he went back to Uganda for a visit, life took a turn. The villagers besieged Kaguri to do something to help the children orphaned by AIDS. He took his would-be down payment, around $5,000, and instead built a school in Uganda for orphans. He abandoned the American dream for a greater dream, helping the poor. God loves the poor, and he asks us to care about those whom he cares about. Could you let go of the American dream for the sake of others? God dreams better dreams for us than our culture can. We just have to live like we believe it. I'm Mark Early, and that's The Point. For more, visit us at thepoint.breakpoint.org.
Leadership is a decision, not a destiny. Hi, I'm John Maxwell, and here's John Hall, president of EQIP, with today's leadership moment.
If you don't believe that labor benefits a community, visit an area where there is high unemployment. There will be the presence of all kinds of social problems: crime, drug abuse, and higher consumptions of alcohol. It's the reminder from Proverbs that says, "He who is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys." Work benefits every community. This Labor Day weekend, remember that jobs stabilize communities, increase property values, creates better school environments, and builds stronger local churches that will have the resources to perform ministry at a higher level. Thank God for your job. is not only helping you, but your community as well. I'm John Hall. For a free resource to help you on your leadership journey, visit leadershipmoment.org.
You know, God is good. He brings teachers into our lives. And so I want to introduce you to one of my teachers. I watched Linda Smith with great interest when she came to Washington, D.C. She was elected to serve as a congresswoman. She had served in her state government back in Washington State, and God saw fit. And that story in and of itself is an amazing one to bring her to Washington, D.C. And Linda is one of those rare, bright lights where integrity is the hallmark of who she was when she served as a public servant and who she is today. But more importantly, as I look back from the stands watching her run her race with zeal, I can see how God opened various doors for her to start planting seeds for the next chapter of her life. And while she was a congresswoman, she became aware of this horrific business of sex trafficking. And let me tell you, as somebody who sat in front of a microphone for a long, long time, this is one of those issues where you have to break through what I call the aha moment, where some people just can't conceptualize that, A, something like this is going on, and B, how they can possibly tackle a problem that seems to be a giant when they're a mere grasshopper. Linda is a teacher in my life. I've watched her change lives, affect lives, impact lives, and to be a teacher, and she continues to press on. She has a very full calendar right now on this particular subject, and I am so thankful that she's with us because she is actually coming to Washington, D.C., and she's going to be testifying at a congressional hearing. She is the founder of a marvelous organization called Share Hope International, and I just love the work that she does and pray that God gives her the energy to do it for many, many years to come. Linda, thank you so much. Who invited you to Washington? In what committee are you going to be speaking in front of? And is it addressing a particular piece of legislation?
Well, it's always wonderful to be with you. You are at least one of the most, articulate women that I know. So I love your program.
Thank you, Linda.
I will be coming to testify for H.R. 5575, which we've been involved in helping to craft. The bill sponsor, and you won't be surprised, is Congressman Chris Smith, who really has been the founder of the, I guess you could say, the movement in Congress to recognize the issue of trafficking. And then Representative Carolyn Maloney out of New York. And their bill is called the Domestic Minor Sex Trafficking Deterrence and Victim Support Act of 2010. Now, what's really important about that is we used to hear a lot about trafficking. A lot of people know things about trafficking in other countries or children being brought and women into our country. But they don't understand that the largest population of trafficking victims are domestic children brought into commercial sex at an average age of 13. So this bill will focus on this issue and the major numbers of, large numbers of trafficked minors, which is great. You know, some say, well, there's not enough money for anything. We raise this up and say, just treat these children as traffic victims with whatever is there, include them. Don't just spend the $50 million or so a year that you spend on just foreign victims. Count the children from our middle schools, too. So this goes about starting that process.
Wow, Linda, that's excellent. I understand that a component of H.R. 5575 is also the idea that the Internet clearly has a role to play in domestic sex, minor sex trafficking. Explain that to us.
Yes, it does. And I think the one thing that is important in this bill is it has a lot of concepts, and it focuses on demand. Demand usually being satisfied by shopping online. And so in this bill, it emphasizes the issue of fighting demand and that people that would buy or shop for children for sex or pornography should go to jail and they should be penalized the same as anyone that's selling. So this bill says you buy kids, you sell kids, whether online or on the streets, you're a part of trafficking and you should go to jail. So that's a real strong part of this particular legislation. Now, again, the concepts in this bill are very broad. There is there's information and attention on online trafficking and online buying. There is information, finally, a resolution saying we, Congress, believe that buying of commercial sex with children, which is trafficking, is serious and should be prosecuted under the federal law. That is a strong statement that wasn't there before. But But the issue is it's before Congress. I would say 2 years ago, I couldn't have even begged them to hear it in a subcommittee when it came to domestic minor sex trafficking, much less have a major hearing in the House, and there has been one in the Senate also. So it's a good day when we move this along. And it really is, I think an important thing is it is in the Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security. That says something.
Wow. You know, Linda, this is one of those issues where, and you've seen this a million times in Washington, where you get sometimes very interesting coalitions, groups that might not necessarily work side by side and shoulder to shoulder. But this is one of those bright, shining moments where you can get various groups that might not ordinarily work together on an issue who come together on something like minor sex trafficking. Am I right? And are we seeing a broad sponsorship of this resolution?
Oh, absolutely. Whether it be Carolyn Maloney, who couldn't be any more different than myself, or Representative Smith, then, you know, she's totally different on many things. Or it is the coalitions of fairly liberal women's groups, rights groups, and right alongside is a pro-life group, and right alongside is a minister or a major denomination, and they're all standing together. I think one thing that's really interesting is at the state level, where a lot of this plays out, because that is where kids are protected and that is where they're identified. We had a major package of laws that we are passing called the Protected Innocence Framework of Laws. And in the state of Washington, which is where we launched it, now we're working on it in several states, but where we launched it, we literally were able to put together the coalitions of public defenders, prosecutors, police chiefs, the most liberal groups across the board, and get unanimous votes on one of the strongest laws in the country on domestic minor sex trafficking at the state level. And it was that magic that you don't see very often, and I use that term lightly, but that it was just pretty wonderful to watch that happen. And now in Washington state, if you buy commercial sex with a child, whether you knew they were 15, 16, whatever, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to serve at least 21 months and likely up to 12 years. And you can't say, I didn't know how old she was, which is the defense in most states. So it's pretty exciting to see the coalitions. I'm not totally naive to the political. I'm going to end up going to war over the issues involved in the protecting of the child. And some will say never should a child be held against her will unless she's a criminal. And I'm saying the pimps get them within 48 hours of the time they hit the street, or they take them out of the mall, they have them into prostitution. I have to find a way to keep them safe, and we have to do that for the protection of the child. And I do believe we're going to have some philosophical breakdowns, and some are going to say their rights to liberty and being on the street is a greater right than, or greater than, our responsibility to protect them. And I say no. As a child, we protect children, and even from themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, on that idea of very interesting coalitions, let me fast forward to October. There's going to be a Stop Modern Slavery Walk in Washington, D.C. And Linda, you're going to speak there. Tell me about that day and what you anticipate happening.
Well, we hope there will be people from all over the nation, and we believe there will, because we have people representing Shared Hope there from all over the nation coming, and that they will make a stand big enough that the people in Washington, D.C. and the nation will understand that we have slavery of our own children. So this is a strong attempt to make a noise and stand up and say, hey, this is an issue and it could affect your children. About that time, we're going to do an official release of Renting Lacey, and I think you've seen the initial on that before. But we also are going to come out with some stories, some real ones of real girls in the last month that were actually 13-year-old girls, either snatched or taken out of a mall or wooed out of a middle school, who had been trafficked in the United States and sold throughout the United States. And one of those is a girl that actually was from one of our churches. She was in the youth group, wonderful little girl, and that girl within a week was being sold as a high-class call girl, and she was only 13.
Oh, how awful. Praise God for former Congresswoman Linda Smith and the work she's doing through her ministry now, Shared Hope International. When we come back, you know all this new 21st century technology. Linda's got a thing or two to say about Craigslist, and you'll hear it right after this.
Greg Yoder with Mission Network News.
One cannot yell fire in a crowded theater.
That's Open Doors' Carl Mueller comparing the intentions of a Florida pastor with the likely impact on the global persecuted church. A firestorm of protests surrounds the decision to go ahead with a September 11th International Burn a Quran Day. Mueller dismisses the claim of free speech censorship.
It flies in the face of Jesus' command to love our enemy and to bless those who persecute us. It also flies in the face of practical responsibility for the lives of another. This is not a free speech issue. This is a speech that will cause the suffering and possibly even death of Christians.
Next, the impact of the earthquake in Haiti has had a cataclysmic impact on schools. Worldwide Christian School, Steve Gurink explains that people are afraid of the concrete buildings, accounting for dozens of empty schools. They're collaborating to provide a safe transitional school building solution. Gurink says their focus motivates everything they do.
Because we are a Christ-centered school, the gospel is always a central part of the end product. Rebuilding the classrooms is a necessity, but the reason you're doing that is because it's a Christ-centered school, and these children will hear about Christ.
And the average person in a developing nation walks nearly 4 miles every day just to get water. The Ion Network office in the United Kingdom is helping people get a feel for what it's like through a Walk for Water event. It's a 10-mile walk through central London on September 25th. Through it, they're hoping to raise funds to provide a cup of cold water in Jesus' name for their projects in Ghana and Uganda. Mission Network News is a daily news service of Cornerstone University of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Enter to win an all-expenses-paid Touch the World trip to India from Global Action. If your name's drawn, Global Action will send you all the way to India. Activate your name now. Call 1-800-995-4828 or click on that link at missionnetworknews.org. I'm Greg Yoder.
Are you still sinning just like you did before you got saved? Do you think that now that you have this agreement with God, whatever it is that you do, you can get away with it? That you're safe because heaven is secured for you? That you're sure of? What makes you so sure? Sounds to me like you might be deceived. If you're sinning just like you did before, you're living unrighteously, not doing what is right, and the Bible says the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor evildoers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. You need to repent, my friend. Have a change of mind about sin and tell God you want Him to set you free. This is Kay Arthur with Precepts from God's Word.
If you visit In the Market with JanetParshall.org, you will see Linda Smith's face. You can click on through to the website for Shared Hope International. I was there during the break, and I'm telling you, it's a very powerful website. There are stories of girls there that, well, if it doesn't move you to tears, then you have a heart of stone. But I love their banner. Their banner says, leading a worldwide effort to eradicate sexual slavery one life at a time. And it's a three-prong approach: prevent, rescue, and restore as well. On the prevention aspect of this, Linda, you wrote a great piece on what's going on with Craigslist. It was a guest editorial. Explain, if you'd be so kind to our friends, exactly what the problem is and how Craigslist ties into this whole issue of sex trafficking.
Craigslist ended up being the focal point, but there are a lot of web marketing places where we all go buy used, you know, furniture or maybe even something new, that they have this dark, I call it the basement, and you can go in there and you can shop for commercial sex. Mature audience is what it says. And in that is where most of my girls, and you know, I work in rescues and I work in restoration of these girls, most of them have been sold by Craigslist or Backstage or one of these virtual marketing sites, and that's where men, by the millions go and shop for sex with another person. What we found is that most of the product are minor children. Craigslist was asked to stop this, and there was a lot of pressure on them for quite a while, and they finally said, oh, we'll donate some of the money and we'll try to restrict access to it. But we kept finding girl after girl was the same. They were marketed and their pictures was shown or they were described on one of these back sites and then delivered to the hotel room or the home or delivered to the buyer. Finally, Craigslist really got up in arms, and they just were just angry that people were pressuring them. And a group of the attorney generals wrote them a letter. I think it ended up being 19 finally. And so this is a big issue. You are marketing children, whether by design or by default, and this is a big issue, and put them on notice. Well, I think bigger than that is a bunch of us started really pounding on them and saying, you know, this is a problem. You know what that did? It affected the fact that, you know, they were looking, we get $36 million a year, which means millions and millions of men buying and selling online, profit. And they looked at that and went, we're gonna have to think about this. Last night, sometime during the night, the host site went down. Otherwise, the erotic site under Craigslist went black. They had put censored on it earlier in the week, and they were crowing. But I think they realized that some of us are serious. And I mean, your audience, you, we're serious. Do not facilitate the sale of another person. And we protect children. And I'm not going to buy on Craigslist, I said, and nobody else is, unless you stop selling kids on it. We're not going to go to a place of slavery and buy product in the same market. So they went blank, and I think it was advocacy. I just think they were too afraid of what it could do to their total market.
You know, Linda, it goes to the whole idea that money doesn't talk, it shouts. And you would think that there would be at least some moral parameter on a site where you could buy and sell just about anything. And what's amazing to me is that aren't you engaged in what is tantamount to illegal activity, particularly where minors are concerned? So how could they do this? Well, I'm glad that the AGs weighed in on this, but I'm surprised that there hasn't been at least at some level some kind of prosecution. And maybe it's that made the site go dark.
Well, I had said that I believed it was facilitating organized crime and that there were at least the ability to file civil suits against them in some states by being a part of a crime. In many states, you have joint and several liability. You're an attorney, and so you have the ability to sue everyone until you get satisfaction. Right. And I thought, you know, they're gonna end up with a whole bunch of lawsuits. I have a bunch of girls that I work with. One I just worked with this last couple of weeks. I ended up moving her to two different states to keep her away from the pimps who were managing her. And I thought, you know what? I bet there's room for suit for this little girl. So I think they shut it down because of the good listening audience, people that listen to you, Janet. And again, thank you.
Oh, Linda, no, thank you. And our prayers will be with you on September 15th when you're in D.C. testifying on behalf of House Resolution 5575. And in the meantime, friends, every time Linda comes on, we are inundated with emails. So go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org, click on through to Shared Hope International, and pray about what role you'll play.